You are listening to WDOT Radio Port Washington. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Epic Entertainment Roundup. My name is Gabriel, and as always, I will be your host. Today we have an extra special interview just for the holiday season. You know him as the founding and current lead vocalist from the alt-rock band Guster. Let's welcome Ryan Miller to the show. Hey Ryan, it's great to have you on the show today. How are you doing?
That was amazing. I'm so impressed, Gabriel. What an honor. I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. Could you tell my listeners a little about yourself?
Sure. My name is Ryan. I'm 51 years old. I've been in a band called Guster for over 30 years, and I play music and I write things and I just acted in a movie and I score films and I got a wife and I got kids and I live in Vermont.
Could you talk a little about the movie that you were in?
Yeah, I just finished, I was starring in my friend Brian's movie. I had never acted before, and he said, hey, do you want to act in a movie? And I try and say yes to really crazy things, because I feel like it's a good idea to keep challenging myself as I get older, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I bet you understand something about that, Gabriel. This probably wasn't an easy thing to do. You know how sometimes something really hard, you're like, I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe it's like that.
Mm-hmm. So, did you know you wanted to be a musician growing up? Like, when you were in high school, was that when you realized you wanted to become a musician?
Yeah, it was pretty typical. Like, you know, I heard songs on the radio, and I think I went to a concert, and I was like, oh, I want to be that guy. I want to play guitar and sing. And so I started really kind of young when I was playing. You know, I got a guitar for my 13th birthday and took guitar lessons and I played in a band in high school. So yeah, I think I wanted to do it for my whole life. I don't think I really thought I would have a chance though, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did you have any, what were like some of the influences that you had? Like, did you have any mentors?
I didn't have any mentors, but I used to listen to music all the time, and I was influenced by that. So, you know, when I was growing up, there was a really cool radio station in Texas where I grew up, and they would play songs by like bands like The Cure or Depeche Mode or New Order or something like that. So that was like kind of a big musical influence in a way early on, even though the early Guster records didn't sound anything like that.
Did you take any musical classes in high school to maybe help you with your musical career?
No, I was never really a student of music in that way. Like, I took a couple of I took some guitar lessons when I was growing, you know, when I was in high school, but I never took a music theory class, and I didn't take any music classes when I went to college. I just didn't approach it that way. In some ways I wish I had, because I wish I had that knowledge now. It's not too late. I'm still trying to learn, but yeah, I didn't go that route. I was in a band and kind of learned by being in a band and not by taking classes, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. So I know Guster is once called Gus, and the band started at Tufts. Could you tell us a little about the background of the band? Like, the origin of the name, how it met and formed?
Sure, of course. We met actually, there was three of us that were we were a trio for a very long time, like the first maybe 10 years. And the three of us met the first day of college at Tufts. I think I was in an orientation program, and I was asking if anybody else had been in a high school band, because I was in a band in high school and I really liked it. And I was really interested in starting another band right away at college. So I met Adam, and he had played guitar and sung in a band, and Brian had his bongo drums and was a friend of ours. It was like, and we were like, sure, let's just try it, you know? And then we had to make a tape. We played a show. We played a couple covers at a coffee house show in the fall of 91, our first semester. And then there was the Battle of the Bands the next semester. We wrote four songs, and then we recorded them and called ourselves Gus. So that was, yeah, like 22 years ago. No, 21 years ago.
So I know
31 years ago. Sorry, my math is horrible.
So I know that Guster uses many instruments. Like, I went to see you guys at the Capitol Theater in Port Chester.
Oh, so, you did?
Yeah, yeah. I remember there are a bunch of different instruments that you guys played. How does the band decide on what instruments you guys play every night when you're creating a song or just playing a song?
That's a great question. A lot of times with the instrument that we'll play live will be the instrument that we kind of wrote the song on. So songs come from different places. Sometimes, like, I'll write a song on guitar. Sometimes I'll write a song on piano. Sometimes Adam and Brian will start a song where Adam's playing bass or Luke. So a lot of it has to do with, like, kind of what parts we were playing when we wrote the song. It's just, and us switching our instruments kind of gets us to think about the song in a different way. So we don't, because we all approach our instruments in a different way. Like when Adam's playing bass, it's very different than when I play bass or Luke plays bass, and ditto for keyboard and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just, I think it's a way to kind of challenge us to stay out of, like, to keep trying to try new things and think about our instruments in a new way, songwriting.
So what actually inspires the lyrics to your songs? Like, how do you guys approach the writing of the songs?
Another great question. Songs come in a lot of different ways. A lot of times we'll get together in a room for a couple days and we'll just, like, jam, just like make up. Someone will play a beat and someone will play a little bass line and then someone will write over that. And then, but also songs have come where I've written entire songs and presented it to the band almost complete. And sometimes, you know, Luke will have an idea and he'll play it that he did at his studio. So yeah, usually it's very collaborative 90% of the time. And then the melodies are usually, I'll usually write the melodies and then I'll have to write the words after all the melodies are written. It's kind of a backwards way to do it. Some people write lyrics first, and I never have had a lot of success with that.
Do you guys stick with a certain key or tempo when writing music, or do you guys like to vary it?
We like to vary it. We end up kind of sitting in this mid-tempo time. You know, we tend to be better at our mid-tempo songs for whatever reason. Like, we try and write faster songs, and sometimes they work. But yeah, no, I think we like to vary it. It's not something we try and stay in one tempo. It'd be kind of boring.
Mm-hmm. So your first record was Parachute that you created in Boston, right?
Correct.
So how did your band, like, first starting off, actually create that record?
Well, we had made a demo tape, and we found a local producer, this guy Mike Deneen, who was quite well known in the Boston scene where we were living, and he had made records for a lot of really great artists in Boston. And we asked him if he would be interested in producing us, and he was. So we were, at this point, we were busking, you know, playing in the street in Harvard Square. And we had saved up all our money to basically pay him to make a record. So we went in the studio for a lot of our, like, junior year, the second half of junior year. I missed a lot of school to record this record, and I had to make it up over the summer. But that's how we made our first album, Parachute.
But I'm sure the missing the school, it paid off eventually, right?
I think so. I mean, I'm still in the band, and I got my college degree. Like, you know, I made it up in the summer, and it was no one. So I took incompletes, and then, you know, caught up for the next semester for last year.
What were your favorite subjects in school, or least favorite subjects?
Oh, favorite and least favorite? In high school or in college?
High school, sure.
High school. I was really kind of a science guy. Like, I came into college thinking I was going to be a doctor. I was going to take a lot of science classes, but I didn't want to do that. What do you like to study, Gabriel?
Well, my favorite subject currently, I would probably say Spanish. I really enjoy it a lot. I don't know. I really like learning another language to speak. But I also enjoy global, like learning the history of the world.
History is super fascinating. Have you been to any Spanish-speaking countries where you could practice?
I have not, but my mom majored in it in college, so she helps me. We talk sometimes about it, and my aunt speaks Spanish, so I talk in Spanish with her also.
Oh, that's amazing. It's going to be so fun when you go to a Spanish-speaking country and you can just kind of show off your skills.
Yeah.
What a fun treat. All right, good. I can't wait for that for you. Mm-hmm.
So when you guys create a set list for a show, is there input for the entire band?
Great question, Gabriel. Actually, no. I think we could kind of say something, but funnily enough, our drummer, Brian, has made the set list for every single show that we've ever done. And usually I don't even know what songs we're playing until I see it on the set list on stage. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes he'll send it in advance and we'll have a little bit of input, but I'd say 98% of the time, Brian writes a set list and we just play it like that. Cause he's got his weird head wrapped around it. And like, oh, we played this last time and we need this many songs that were Adam sings. And we need this one where I'm on the percussion, just stuff that I don't think about, you know?
Well, I remember when I went to the Capitol Theater, you guys did an encore. When you guys do an encore, is there input from the entire band or is it all Brian again?
No, I mean, we'll kind of write the fake encore. Like we don't do the thing where we wait for people to clap for us. We kind of let them know that we know that they know that we know that we're going to do an encore. So it's usually written part of the set list. Although every once in a while, if the crowd is really like rowdy at the end, we'll just decide off stage. Like, okay, let's play this last song.
I know.
But I'd say most of the time it's a plan. And we tell people it's a plan. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so I know you've obviously created many songs. What's one of your favorite songs to sing on stage?
Oh, I don't know. Favorite song? I mean, it usually tends to be the songs, like the newer songs, just because I'm like, they're still a little bit more fresh, and it's not something I've sang, 2,000 times. So I'm really enjoying a lot of the new stuff that we're doing right now. There's a song that we have called Black Balloon that's on the new record, and I love singing that one. But there's some older songs too, like I love singing Come Downstairs and Say Hello, and I like, it's a good question. I'm trying to think of what else I really like to sing, because some songs are so fun to play but not as fun to sing. Yeah, I think Black Balloon, or there's a song called Lightning Rod that are Empire State, like kind of the slower ones where I feel like I get to be more of a quote-unquote singer.
Well, one of my favorite songs is Fa Fa Fa. How is it created?
Oh, yeah.
How is it created? Did you think it would be a breakout hit?
We didn't, and I don't know that it was. I mean, I guess it depends on your definition. That one was created, we had written that song before we were in the studio with Steve Lillywhite for Lost and Gone Forever. That was the same way. Like we probably just jammed in a college dorm or something to write that song. But then in the studio, we put horns on it, and this guy, Carl Denson, put horns and flutes and stuff on it, and it kind of turned it into a different thing. So yeah, that one was like probably really came alive in the studio more so than when we were playing it before.
Mm-hmm. And another one of my, well, it became one of my favorites when I actually saw you guys live for Hello, Mr. Sun, when you wear the rainbow hat. I remember that was really nice.
I love singing that one, too. I love that one. I really love that one.
Mm-hmm. So, like, the rainbow hat, like, what inspires your actual outfits at the shows?
Oh, I think that rainbow hat came because we have a fan that comes to a lot of shows. And he threw a rainbow hat on a stage once, and then I think that we kind of took that from the audience and ran with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you remember, but when I was about 3 years old, my dad's friend, Nick Keplish, got me to join you on stage for a sound check at the Paramount Theater in Huntington. Yeah.
Your dad's friends with Nicky?
Yeah.
Clevish?
Yep. And Brian even put me on his shoulders, and I got to play on his drums, and I have a picture of that in my room. Yeah.
I mean, I know Nicky very well. I don't remember that specific incident, but it definitely feels like something that happened.
I remember it was really special, and I actually have the signed drumstick from all three of you guys. So thank you for being so nice to your fans.
That's really cool. Well, thank you for telling me that story. I'm glad that that was some kind of core memory for you, and I'm glad we weren't jerks.
Guster, I know, has had a special relationship with your fan base. Like, why is that?
Why do we have a special relationship? Mm-hmm. Or how, like, yeah, I mean, I think that, like, you know, there's some version of this where, like, you know, we get a request that a 14-year-old kid wants to have a come on his podcast that no one's ever going to hear outside of his high school. And I think there's part of it that, like, I'm happy to talk to you. You know what I mean? And I think it's really cool that you're doing this. I think it's really awesome that you could be 14 and, like, be curious enough to ask questions. And I just think, and I have kids, like, my kids are 15 and 13, and I would be proud of them if they, you know, did what you're doing right now. So I think that there's a version of what maybe people like about our band or how we feel about our fans is we don't kind of take them for granted. And we think that it's real cool that we get to do this and we get to keep doing this as we turn into, like, middle-aged men and stuff. And I think we're kind of like, we got really lucky that we're all just kind of decent human beings. Like, I didn't know that when I met them. They could have been jerks and I wouldn't have known until much later. But Brian and Adam and Luke and I and our manager and our crew, like, everyone's kind of a nice person. And I think that helps create a culture of niceness, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, I love the fact that the band is always having fun when they perform.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, maybe sometimes it's not always fun and we're just faking it, but it's a pretty fun job. I mean, I think we feel, like I said, we feel very lucky that we get to keep doing this. It's really pretty incredible to show up in a new city and have, like, 1,000 people singing songs that you wrote together. You know, it's a pretty incredible feeling and experience. So I think, again, we try not to take that for granted. So it is pretty fun.
Moving on, could we talk about the song? Like, my dad is an architect, and we like listening to Architect and Engineers. Could you, like, explain? Yeah.
That's cool.
Could you explain the meaning of it?
No, I don't know. I don't often, and I don't know, like, I don't always know what I was, and that song is from, I think it's from Keep It Together, is that right, baby?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Yeah, I don't always know. I mean, I have to look at the lyrics to think about it, but I don't know. That's not one where I totally know what I'm talking about. And sometimes I don't like telling people what I think the song means, because if they might have an interpretation, like, do you have any kind of thought about what it might be about?
I think it's about, like, people that are maybe building up the world, architects.
Yeah. Yeah, so I love that interpretation, and I wouldn't want to be the guy to be like, oh, it's actually about donuts. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I try not to tell people what it's about necessarily, because I read books and I see movies and I listen to music, and I think if someone told me, well, I don't know, maybe it would be nice to know what Neil Young's singing about sometimes. But yeah, I try not to. I don't always know, because I don't want to ruin it for anybody, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's that everybody kind of has their own interpretation.
Mm-hmm. So the phrase Guster is for lovers, it's a reference to the band Guster. Could you explain how it originated?
Well, it's a reference to, there's a state slogan called Virginia is for lovers. And we just stole the font and the slogan and just took our name, put our name there and said, just to be goofy, and then it kind of just stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the little stickers and stuff, and then yeah, and then it was on a basketball Final Four.
Yeah. I was gonna say I'm a basketball fan, and I saw the phrase on the laptop sticker when with Matt Norlander.
Yeah, look at you, you've done your research, Gabriel. Yeah, Norlander's a fan and a friend, and I think he's been doing that for years as just a little you know, a little nugget. But then a couple years ago, he was standing behind, he was just seated in a very advantageous place. So it went like viral on Twitter and stuff. Pretty mm-hmm. funny little thing.
Well, I remember I was watching Family Guy one time and I saw Guster was actually on it. Was it? What did you guys know about that? Like, how did that come to be?
No, we had no idea. We were. I don't even know if we were all together. But whenever it happened, all our phones started blowing up. You know, people were like, "Oh my God, you were just like semi roasted on the Family Guy." Yeah, no, we had no idea. And then I met a writer later who had something to do with it, but it was very funny. I used a screenshot from that as my avatar on the internet.
I don't know. It was really funny to see that.
So funny.
Yeah. Could you talk a little about your upcoming tour? Like, why did you decide to make it like a satire of Taylor Swift's tour name? I read that you'll be... Yeah.
Well, it's not really a satire as much as it's an homage. Like, we are actually doing like kind of what... Are you a Taylor Swift fan at all? Do you listen to her?
I've listened to a few of her songs. I wouldn't say I'm a big fan, though.
Yeah, and do you know what that Eras tour was? Like, what the conceit was of that her tour? Like, she went through all of her albums kind of in order and, you know, kind of had costume changes and told the story of her, you know, of her experience through the, you know, through music over the course of the night.
Yeah.
So we just think that's a great idea. So we stole the idea, but we're not making fun of it as much as at all. Actually, I think it's a really good idea. So that we're just stealing. Yeah.
Cause I heard that you'd be telling like 30 plus year story of Guster from your album to album.
That's right. What it is. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do some skits and like even talk, you know, before when you were asking, like, how did you meet? Like, we're going to talk about like, we're going to like maybe do a skit where Adam and I meet for the first time. And then Brian shows up with his bongos and we're going to try and like, you know, do some costume changes and kind of tell the story of the band in a way, like almost like a Broadway show, but not really, because it'll be mostly music and not a lot of talking. But I think there's an opportunity here for us to do something kind of weird and special, and we're all excited about it. So I think it's going to be really special. I think it'll be really unique, and I think our fans will really dig it.
Well, on your tour, I'm actually going to be seeing you at the Paramount Theater in Brooklyn, and I heard that you're going to be the first artist to ever play there. In the past, you also opened a new event space at Fenway Park. What's it like getting the honor to play at a new venue, the first at a new venue?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we were the first. I think we were the first band. It wasn't even the first official band at MGM, but it's cool. I mean, you know, it's pretty neat to have this job and be able to go play all of these different venues, and some of them are great and a couple are terrible, but then the really great ones, like, that are really special, you feel really lucky to be able to, like, I feel like the Capitol, you know, you said you saw us there, is like a very special place, and Red Rocks is a really, really special place, and the Ryman Auditorium, and there's just like some legendary music halls like around the world that when we get to be there, it feels like we're part of something. So yeah, I mean, being the first, I didn't realize we were the first band. I think I had heard that maybe we might be, but I didn't know that was official. So that's, I think that's an honor. It's very cool. I think it seems like it's going to be a really cool spot.
Do you remember like a favorite concert that you've played at? Like a favorite performance? Like, was there one that standed out like special?
Yeah, I think like we've been playing a couple of like 3, 4, 5 times a year. We'll do these shows with orchestras or symphonies. So we started with the Boston Pops 15 years ago. And I think playing with orchestras is usually really, really intense and really special. We had a really incredible one with the San Diego Symphony earlier this summer. I think, you know, we played Red Rocks a bunch, and those are really incredible shows, obviously. And we have a festival we do every year in Maine, and we're just putting that together right now again for this year, and that can be really, really, really special as well, because it's like our super fans that come, and we get to really, like, it's very total family vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of ones that stand out to me.
Hmm. Well, my mom graduated from Tufts, and she told me a story about the venue called The Rat. Do you have any Guster memories playing at that venue?
Oh, The Rat was not, was The Rat was the Ratskeller, and that was in Boston, and not at Tufts. But
yeah, she graduated from Tufts, but she saw you guys a lot at The Rat in Boston.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, we kind of came up through playing like some of the Boston local clubs, and might have played The Rat, but we played a place, TT the Bears, a bunch, and then we played in Harvard Square, and yeah, I mean, Boston was like, and the Paradise, which is still there, is a place we used to play all the time, and that's where we kind of got some of our biggest fans came out of there, and yeah, those shows were really important to the band and kind of made us feel like we were doing the right thing. It wasn't just a joke of like, you know, we weren't just a college band. We were kind of making, it was possible to kind of maybe do this like for real. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So playing clubs was a super important part of that for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also heard that you've had like a few pop-up shows like in the rain or in a parking lot. Are those spontaneous decisions or does the band plan them ahead?
No, we don't really plan. We've done these, so like we call them dumpster shows, where we like play in front of a dumpster somewhere. I would say we've done them. They're often we planned it once where we had a day off in like Wyoming or Montana, and we planned it like a day. We planned it internally like a day in advance, but most of the time, it's just something to do. It's like, oh well, it's raining and we should try and do something fun, or wouldn't it be stupid if we played a dumpster on our day off and have like 15 people show up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, do you guys have like a playlist for those, or do you just play whatever?
There's only so many songs we can, no, we kind of play whatever we can. Sometimes we play covers and sometimes we just like, yeah, it's kind of whatever fits our mood.
Mm-hmm. So I heard that, is it true that you have actually been creating a playlist since the birth of your children?
Wow, look at your research. Where'd you read that? That's amazing.
Yeah.
You're like a Nardwar, you're like a 14-year-old. You know who Nardwar is?
I do, yes.
He's awesome. That's his whole trick. Like, he'll pull something out from like, it says here in fifth grade, you were friends with Bethany Morris. I am building a playlist. Yeah, I have like since my kids were born, because I was thinking about like all the songs that I wanted them to hear that they might not hear, since, you know, we don't listen to the radio and they need to know what, like, what's going on, or, you know, the God Only Knows, or, you know, Harvest Moon, just songs that they needed to know. So yeah, that's being built still. I think we're at like, I want to look right now, but I think it's at like, let me see, it's 62 hours.
Wow.
28 minutes. Wow. Right now. Of like all my favorite songs of all time.
Mm-hmm. So, so I heard that Guster's in a bunch of causes, like Adam Gardner, who plays guitar for Guster, and is the co-founder of Reverb, a non-profit organization dedicated to making the music industry more sustainable by reducing the environment footprint of touring. What can you share about Adam, Reverb, and the sustainability plan for the upcoming Guster tour?
Wow, that's a great question, too. Adam and his wife, Lauren, who also, we went to school with Lauren as well, started Reverb, I don't know, you probably know better than me, like 20-something years ago. And it started off as a way for us to just to be more sustainable in our touring as Guster, and then became something that they could help other bands do. And I think they've done hundreds of tours at this point. And it's really about, you know, not using water, like not having cases of water, like giving out water bottles so every band has a water bottle, and using biodiesel in the trucks, and, you know, giving like that kind of stuff, just, and also doing some fan outreach stuff on the other point. So it's really cool. Adam and Lauren, and they have an incredible organization. They have like 15 or 20 employees at any given time, and they do massive tours like Dave Matthews and Billie Eilish and Tame Impala and stuff like that. It's a really cool thing that I'm, you know, really proud to be a part of it, sort of just by proxy, but not having really, I don't really do any other work. I just enjoy watching them do really incredible stuff.
Yeah. I also heard there's like a one about whales, saving the whales.
Oh, is there? I think I did. I played this like whale thing here. That might have been what you're talking about. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Whales are not high on our list of things to do, but I'm down with saving the whales. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for spending time with me and my listeners this afternoon. I enjoy learning about you and Guster. Happy holidays.
Thanks, Gabriel, and thanks for your thoughtful questions. And, you know, I mentioned it before, but I think it's so cool that you're curious about the world. I think that's like, if I could wish that on any kid that was in high school, it'd be like, just keep asking questions. It's a rare trait, and I hope that you keep doing it.
Thank you. If you had like any final advice for a high school student who would want to pursue a music career in 2024, what would you say to them?
Well, I piggyback off what I just said. Like, I'd say stay really curious and ask a lot of questions, and don't be afraid to make mistakes, and, you know, kind of stay and try and find really good people that are supportive of what you're doing. Like, collaboration is great. And yeah, I think the main thing is to stay curious about the world and try and learn as much about music and different kinds of music and how it all works. And that it's like, there's a million different ways to become an artist these days. When I was coming up, you had to like kind of get a record deal, but now you can do a lot of different things. So I'd say like, stay open and forge your own path.
Mm-hmm. Well, listeners and Gustroids out there, you can catch Ryan and the Guster beginning in March as they hit the road on their We Also Have Eras Tour tickets on sale now. Until next time, be calm, be brave, it'll be okay. This is Gabriel Jaffe with the Epic Entertainment Roundup. Thank you.